Hello, all you slut enthusiasts and pervs. Welcome to the Slut Next Door podcast. And I am your slut next door, Miss Beatrix. I am a phone sex operator, audio porn creator, and just an overall slut who wants to talk about being a slut, kinks, fetishes, and all the dirty things inside of our head. So, episode two. Today, I'm talking with Katie Starling, the one and only Katie Starling, and we talk about all kinds of things. It's actually going to be a two-parter because we talked for so long. We had so many things to say. But for today's episode, you will be hearing about Miss Katie's start in sex work, being an escort, and the Pervert Paradise Discord server. So, enjoy my conversation with Katie Starling. All right. Hi, Katie. Yes, I'm so excited to have you here. And it's funny that I'm sitting in this kind of, I don't know, formal interview setting when I consider you a friend. So this is like interesting, but I'm so excited, like so excited. I'm going to be interviewing Katie Starling, having a chat with her, and she is the queen of extreme and taboo adult content, an amateur porn star, audio porn, phone sex operator, and she also owns the Pervert Paradise, a Discord server with, she had just told me beforehand, over 7,000 members. I mean, just huge. And she's also a sex work activist. So we're going to get into all of that with her. And so let's get started, Katie. I wanted to ask you first, how did you get started in the sex work industry?
I was an escort, actually. I started at 16. I had already moved out of the house and got my GED. I moved about two states away. I ran off with this guy. He was like 5 years older than me. Of course, I ran off with some dude. You know,
Yeah. Yeah.
And a girl, too, actually. Well, after a few months being in that different state, my dad is gone and my mom, you know, is crazy. So it wasn't hard to just move out, up and leave, do whatever. And I actually went to Montana. I was there for a while. I had a normal job for a little bit. I was actually working the graveyard shift at a drive-thru, and I was very good at getting a lot of tips because I know how to manipulate men.
And, love it.
I think that's when I very first realized how big of a talent I truly had for it, you know. But I realized my love for sex around, you know, 12 years old when I lost my virginity. And
12.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. Okay. We're going to have to talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that soon. So go ahead with your journey.
Well, like, I end up falling pregnant with the idiot I moved down there with. And and we were sleeping on my friend's, like, living room floor. I was very hungry. I didn't really know what to do. And I was like, well, you know what? I love sex. How about I go ahead and... I go ahead and post a Craigslist ad. Of course, Backpage cost money to post on at the time. You know, so I posted a Craigslist ad. I was like, fuck it, Craigslist, let's do this. I end up getting a call from this guy who loved to see girls who do like their very first ad. He loved to see girls that were just, it was their first time. He loved to see them for the first time.
Yeah.
He gave me like $800 to come out there. And I was like, oh, this is good money. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing this. So I kept doing it for a while until I had this girl come work with me. I saved her from the streets. And I was about 6 months pregnant at this point. And then the FBI actually came to my door. And they actually kicked me out of the state of Montana because I wouldn't rat on this customer that I had that was actually cartel. So they kicked me out of the state. The guy, the agent that was like dealing with me, he fucking hated me. Mm-hmm. He literally told my mom that I was an arrogant little prick. Exact words. I was like, oh, thank you. They just couldn't believe that a 16-year-old girl would do this all themselves, even save some 24-year-old woman from the streets from a pimp and not have a pimp.
Mm. You were your own pimp.
Yeah. They could not believe that. They could not wrap their heads around it.
So I have to ask, what did that Craigslist ad look like? Like, what did it say?
Oh my God, it was so bad. I had just like a stupid little, like fully clothed, not even lingerie picture of me. Like three or four pictures, because I knew you need to at least have a few pictures. I was like, at least gonna have a few. And it was just like, I don't remember exactly what it was. I actually had my friend write it for me because I was so nervous.
Mm.
My first call too, I like showed up to his door and I was shaking for like 10 minutes. I was like shaking like a fucking leaf.
Yeah. Wow. That takes a lot of balls. Like, I think, like, I've never done physical, like in-person sex work. But just the thought, like, I would be so scared. So this like takes a lot of balls. I mean,
yeah, it's I've always had like a security person, not a pimp. Yeah. I don't have pimps.
Yeah.
Nobody makes my money. Okay. Nobody gets the money I fucking work for. But right, I did have security that I would pay and I would give them like $20, you know, to sit out there and wait for me. Or maybe I was dating them. So they, you know, they got some of it anyway, so they didn't care. I treated my drivers really good. I take them out to eat sometimes. We'd go shopping. Usually they were very close friends of mine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they were women. Sometimes they were men. Sometimes, you know, it was a couple. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Usually they were already close friends of mine before they became my driver. So.
Hmm.
Plus I wasn't allowed to get my license until I was 22. So I had to have a driver.
Oh, gotcha. So how long did you do that? The Craigslist kind of postings?
Well, you know, I went to Backpage pretty quickly. Like I only posted on Craigslist like twice and then I went to Backpage.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Of course, shut down a few years ago now. 3 or 4 years ago. I remember the day Backpage shut down. I freaked out. But so I was in Montana escorting before I got kicked out of the state at 17. I came home, had my baby, did open adoption. I still see him. I still get pictures. He's doing great. I wanted to move out again. I was almost 18. I just turned 18 and I met this guy while I was pregnant, went through the adoption with me and he was really sweet and helped me, right when I came back to Oregon after getting kicked out of Montana for that. But he was very controlling and manipulative, but I went back to escorting while we were together because he had a job, that really just like broke the shit out of his back. He was like, did like, you know, washer and dryer type deliveries and installations. Mm. So that was his job. And he needed pain pills. So I started buying pain pills for him off the street because I had friends, because I'd always kind of dabbled in stuff the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I lived in that town a long time. I was always dabbling in pain pills here and there, you know, partying, but mm-hmm. I never really got super on them until this point. And then I started doing them with him. And then we couldn't really afford the pills on his job. So I was like, hey. He quit his job. I went back to escorting. I was back to it for a while. Pretty soon the pain pills weren't enough. I started smoking heroin. And then that's also what I had this client I knew for over a year who turned out to be like a psychopath and tried to kidnap me.
My God. Wow.
I escaped. I called the cops, beat up to hell, chunks of my hair pulled out, chips off my teeth. Like, this guy beat the shit out of me.
Wow.
He only had me for a few hours. I actually got out by manipulating him to buy me heroin because I was like, withdrawals aren't sexy. I said, I know you want me to be like this pretty girl for you. And I manipulated him to even being like, well, if you just would have asked me to stay, I would have stayed with you. I don't know why you didn't just ask me. We didn't have to go through all this. Got him to feel bad and to get me some heroin. And so while he was out, I got out, ran to three houses before someone answered the door. And the cops wouldn't arrest him because I wouldn't give up the dealer that I had the guy meet up with so I could get out of being kidnapped. Why the hell would I tell on the person that helped me escape? And I literally heard the DA on the phone. Well, she's not going to tell us, and she doesn't deserve to be helped by us. And this guy did threaten that if I escaped, that he would kill me like he had to others before, and had explained to me how he had killed other girls. So
Oh my.
that was horrible to hear that they weren't going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I still continued to escort after this, but I was very, very paranoid because I knew this guy, and it was the one time I went alone after a year of seeing him almost. About a month later, after I called the cops on that, I guess they decided to start investigating me after that. One day I wake up, have my cereal, smoke a little heroin, and then I hear, open up, FBI. And I'm like, what the? Or no, it was state police. Open up, state police. And I was like, what the fuck? And we'll break down the door. I'm like, I'm opening it. Fuck. Like, Jesus, it's just me and my ex that were living there. Like, it's not like there was anyone else there. We weren't known to be violent, so I was like super confused. I was like, Jesus Christ. All right, open up the door. I end up going to jail for like 22 days. I got possession of heroin. That was my first possession charge. I spent my 19th birthday in jail. My ex got out before me, but he actually ended up getting promoting prostitution because you can get that just for driving someone to their calls.
Oh, damn.
Just for trying to help a girl out, you can get promoting prostitution. So he ended up getting that charge. They tried to give it to me too, but they couldn't prove that I had friends work with me. Yeah, and they tried to make it sound like I had some big prostitution ring, but I didn't. I just had a couple friends that need money and came to work with me a couple times. Like that's all it was. They thought they'd find all this heroin in there. Instead, they found like a little itty bitty tiny bit that wasn't even a point. So it was like, yeah, fuck you, you know?
So, what happened to the guy that tried to kidnap you?
I don't know.
Wow.
I really don't. For as far as I know, he's still out there. But I'll tell you the rest of the story. I'll try to shorten it up now. After I went to jail, I got out. I was still with my ex, and I got pregnant like 2 weeks later. Such like, I'm so fertile, I swear to God. Just look at me wrong, and I'm pregnant. Oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant again. Oh, wow. I ended up going through that pregnancy, and because I was on probation, my probation officer hated me. So she put a birth alert out on me for whenever I have the baby, that child services would be like instantly involved. especially because she knew I wouldn't leave the guy I had the baby that I was pregnant with, and she didn't like that. And, you know, POs can literally do anything to you. They could put you in jail for anything, literally anything. Like, if you just hang out with another person's on probation, even if you don't know it, they can arrest you for that, for association, mm-hmm. put you in jail for 5-6 days, sanction you. So that was that's the shitty part about being on probation. And anyways, I went to college for mental health because I wanted to be like a drug and alcohol counselor, and I wanted to help people. You know, I just mm-hmm. really wanted to be like a psychologist for people who've been through trauma, you know, because I've been through a lot of trauma at that point in my life, and I really wanted to help others.
Yeah.
And I needed something to do, so I went to college. And then I went through 6 months into college, and I was about 8 months pregnant at this point, so I was getting ready to give birth, and some asshole decided to, you know, bring a gun to school.
Oh, wow.
Shoot, like, 10 people, and then, anyways, big and pregnant, I couldn't really run, so I got put to, like, a little safe area. Someone actually picked me up and carried me. This big black dude picked me up and carried me. Saying, "You're going to be all right, little mama. We got to get you moving faster than that." Picked me up and carried me like a black knight shining in shining armor, you know? Like,
that's awesome.
Oh, he was hot too. Yeah. So it was great. I was like, "Oh my, thank you." And I like the only good part that came out of that. And but after that, I couldn't go back to the college. I haven't been able to step foot on a college campus since. So that kind of dream kind of went out the window. Yeah. I had the baby. She was born with really rare defect, and child services didn't deem me fit enough, especially with my ex fucking off. Turns out instead of being at work, he was actually at his friend's house playing video games and doing meth, and I didn't even know.
Oh, gosh.
So the child got taken because they said that they didn't think with my PTSD that I would be able to care for a medically fragile child. And I was poor.
Yeah.
So I had no hope of, you know, I had to like break down her nursery. I had to give away her clothes and all the stuff I had for her. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I met Mac right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Mac convinced me. Mac helped me break up with Aaron, finally leave his controlling crazy ass and lying ass too. And me and Mac were both very sad people when we met each other. We went on a heroin binge together. We spent a bunch of his lump sum that he just got from his structured settlement, which he still gets payments from it, but that was like his most recent lump sum was like 50 grand and we fucking blew it in 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Three months.
I bet that hurts, doesn't it, nowadays? Like,
oh my God,
this it day?
Hurts You're so, like, because we did that. We actually even went to Peachtree and sold off a chunk of his settlement future lump sum. That's why he didn't get a lump sum when he just turned 30. Mm-hmm. We sold off the entire thing to get money then. And we got like 25 grand versus the 50 grand he would have gotten when he was 30.
Wow.
We did this twice.
Mm, gosh.
We also sold off chunks of his monthly payments too. They're finally starting to go back up again, but it was like that for like 3 years where they were just like 100 a month from like 1800 a month. So really bad. And it all went in our arms. Mm-hmm. It all went into our bloodstream. It all went to heroin. And then in between his buddy, I would escort.
Gotcha. And then what, after that one guy, the one that tried to kidnap you, you know, what, how did you get back to doing that? Because that seems like that would have been really hard and scary.
I was very paranoid.
Yeah.
But I was also addicted to heroin.
Mm.
So that's why I was able to see somebody else a day after.
Mm, the money. And I had a
very, very controlling ex too, who, you know, needed money and needed to get well. And
Yeah.
So I would just go out and I would just do it. I knew from then on, though, I'm never, no matter how much I trust a guy, I never went alone again.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What would you say is the craziest or funniest escort meeting that you had?
I have two.
Okay.
The first one is when I was 16 years old, and I was just like, I only been escorting for like a month. I was living out of this really nice like hotel room. Like I was living in the lap of luxury, okay? Like
At
I took
16.
all that. Oh yeah, the lap of luxury, and I had never lived like that before. So girl, I was in it. I was wearing designer clothes. I even had a designer that I would go see as an escort, and lawyers and judges, and like, this is why they quietly kicked me out of the state, you know? So I had shit going on, bitch, for 16 years old, living in the lab. I was living at the Hilton, where a guy would pay for my room bill, living in a weekly suite. A suite. It's fantastic. Gorgeous room. Oh God, it was awesome. Great way to live. It was great way. Great. I didn't even care that I was like sucking a guy off every day. Like I could suck a dude off for $1,000. I'm good with that. Like I'm okay with that. And the ones that knew my real age, they were really willing to pay money. So
I bet.
I knew what I had and I used it. Okay. I used it and I used it. And then being pregnant too, I would tell some of them, you know, some of the ones that I could tell that were into that, I was pregnant and that was 16. Oh boy.
Oh yeah. I can imagine, yeah.
Oh, I used it. I used it hard. And there were quite a few pimps and madams in town that tried to like get me to work for them. And luckily I had a couple people that were very protective over me that were able to keep me away from that and keep me independent. So I've always had that somehow. I don't know why. I don't know why people like me. Don't ask me. I don't get it either. I'm like, why do you like me? I don't know. Okay. All right. All right. I guess we'll never know. So my crazy experience was to see a dude with a broken dick.
Oh, what does broken dick mean?
You know, like a 90-degree angle where it's like a corner, like it goes up and then to the side. Yes.
No.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Horse kicked
So
it.
it was a hard dick and the shape of an L.
Yes.
What the fuck? Wow. Like how do you service a cock like that, Katie?
I have no, like, it's, so he paid me to go down on me. That's what he paid me for. And to sit there and chat with him for like a couple hours. He paid me like 1200, something like that. Some crazy number like that at the time to me. And when he showed me, because he wouldn't show me at first. He wouldn't show me at first. He goes, this is why I have to, like, well, I have to pay girls. I was like, you know, I don't really do the whole going down on me thing. It's something I usually save for personal things, you know? And he was the one client I did end up letting do it because I saw his condition. And he started telling me the story about how he was young and he was in rodeo. And he fell off the horse and the horse kicked him.
Oh my
Because when you're
God.
horseback riding, sometimes it gives you boner because things are rubbing around, you're excited. It's not like a sexual boner, but it just happens, you know.
Oh
He was young.
my God. I didn't think it was possible.
And because he was hard when it happened, it broke it that way.
Wow. I mean, like you're talking a literal L. Like a literal 90
literal
degree
honey.
Angle.
Yes.
Oh my literally, God.
Literally.
What did you do with that thing?
I didn't do anything with it. He paid me to go down on me.
Oh my God.
And he just kind of like rubbed it against the bed. Not even kidding. He just like dry humped the bed while he went down on me.
Oh my gosh.
And it worked.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. That's what I was like, bless his little heart.
Oh my God.
His little broken wow. heart.
Yeah, I did, and I think I'm gonna have to do some Google searches when we're done because I've got to see.
I've seen those.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then Mac. So this is a good one. Mac. I have two with Mac. Okay, I have one where the client knew us so well and liked us so much that he actually paid Mac to hang out with him.
Oh no! Are you serious?
For like 3 hours, paid him like $2,000.
Just like
literally
out
paid
as
him
gross.
My rates just to hang out with him. Well, wow. I slept in the car because I was taking a nap because I was very loaded on heroin.
And yes. Like they just hung
and
out.
Took him out to eat. Yeah, took him out to eat.
That is so Mac is a sex worker. I mean,
essentially, I mean, yeah, yeah. He took me to by my definition. Calls.
Yeah.
He met clients.
He got paid.
Like, he had this couple one time that, you know, just wanted to party with another couple and do a bunch of cocaine. They originally got a hold of me because they wanted like a threesome. Then they realized that my old man was out in the car waiting. They're like, oh, dude, invite him in. Did a bunch of cocaine. Me and Mac went and fucked in the shower while they fucked out there. It was fun.
That is wild.
That's
crazy. Yeah. Now, did you ever have an escort customer that it was actually like enjoyable? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Ooh. Like, were they hot or just like really good at sex or?
Well, one, not only was he really hot, he had a bunch of heroin to tip me with. So we got really high. And we fucked for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And since we were numb, you know, you can't come when you're loaded on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
So we just fucked around for like 2 hours. And I got paid extra for it, of course, you know. So like, and I got tipped in drugs. So I was very happy. But I would never take drugs as a payment. I only took them as tips.
Mm.
I only ever took cash as a payment or like a gift card. I would take gift cards, like Visa gift cards, you know, ones I could spend anywhere.
Yeah. How many were actual couples?
I never got a lot of couples. I only got a few. But I did have a couples that were regulars.
Mm-hmm. That seems like it would be fun.
And then I, like I said, another crazy one, though, is when this Mexican calls me, right? Calls me over there. And we go to this apartment complex, and there's a bunch of these kids playing outside and everything. And I'm like, okay, this is a little weird. We drove like an hour out of town. We used the last of our gas money. We are starting to go into withdrawal. Me and Mac are, you know. So we're like, oh, God, I hope this guy doesn't, like, fucking bail on us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there. I look on the door. I'm like, hi. Chastity, nice to meet you. Went by Chastity my entire escort career. Mm. And invites me in. And then I'm sitting on the couch and he's like, oh, I just got to take this phone call. I'm like, okay. And he's talking to his friends about how he has the girl there and that they should come over. I was like, this is not what I agreed to. You know, this is not what I agreed to. And I got really scared and he kept telling me, oh, no, just wait there. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to have a few friends come over and we'll all have fun. I'll pay you a little extra. And I'm like, no. Well, I mean, you don't really have much of a choice, do you? And I was like, no. Yes, I do. Yes, I fucking do. Yes, I fucking do. I run out to the car. I tell Mac, we got to go. I know we don't have any gas. Panhandle. We'll do something. We got to go. He goes, what's going on? I tell him what's going on. Fuck that. I didn't drive an hour out here to get nothing. Fuck them. He gets out of the car. Goes up to the door. I can see the Mexican moms all huddling all their little kiddos inside all of a sudden, you know what I mean? We see a car pull up too with like three or four dudes in it. And I was like, those must be his friends. Matt goes to the door and he takes a crowbar and he puts it underneath his sweater to where it looked like a gun. Because he's very Max, a smart dude, you know? Goes to the door. Knocks on. He's like, so I didn't drive all the way out here for nothing. You're going to see her. You're going to give her that $100 and you're going to fuck off. And your friends are not coming inside. He's like, or I'm going to freak the fuck out. And the dude was just like, I don't want any trouble. Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know she had someone with her. Oh my God. Oh my God. And his friends are out in the car laughing. And then so Matt goes, okay. He comes and gets me. I go to the door and he stands outside the door the entire time. The guy could not get it up because Max just like right there.
Oh shit.
And just hands me the money, even hands me an extra $100 and says, just go, just please, just go, just go, just go.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay, well, I tried to do the call. I even got naked and I was like, all right, I'm ready. You know, I'll still do this with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be doing it with your friends. Like, I'll still do what I got paid for.
Yeah.
But I don't do that with multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
The only other time I've done it with multiple people, I won't do it with multiple people at one time. Like, I will see one after another. So, like, these two best friends paid me one time where I saw one in the room, and then he left, and then his friend came into the room, and they just had to decide who was first.
Why do I find that hot?
I think it's hotter, too, because it's like, I can, because that way I can give them both my individual attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like seeing multiple people at once because I couldn't give them individual attention unless it was a male-female couple or a female-female couple. That's different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Male-male or male-male, one at a time. That was just my rule. That was my rule on it. And so when we come out of there, I see his friends. They're like, ha-ha, we told you it was a bad idea. And the guys literally told me, I'm so sorry. We told him this was stupid. We weren't going to do it anyways. We literally came here to tell him that this is a bad idea. Why are you doing this to this poor girl? This is fucked up. And then when we saw your boyfriend or whoever he is come up to the door, we were just like, yeah, we told you. Fucking told you so. Oh, that was great.
Oh, well.
So yeah, Max is a badass when he needs to be.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Mac is the hero of the story, of that story at least. So what was that bridge like from, escorting to the online world?
Oh, so, remember me and Mac actually broke up and he got clean. But I didn't yet. Okay. I got clean about 6 months later. Finally got off of parole and probation because I ended up catching a couple more charges while I was on my little heroin, suicide mission almost. and all drug charges, of course. Anyways. So, and this is what plays into this. So we started playing games online. I was still escorting. I was mainly just seeing regulars, though, because I was trying to get a different job, but I couldn't ever find a different job. No one was going to hire an escort in her hometown and had been in the news for drugs. No one was going to hire that. That's unhirable, even at a convenience store. Even the convenience stores threw me down. Everywhere did it. Everywhere turned me down. Not a fucking, the one dude that did hire me at Comfort Inn, I ended up walking off the job within 3 days because he was my best friend's boyfriend and he was from like India. And let's just say some of them do still see women as less than. And he knew that I used to be an escort, so he would keep me in his office for hours and hours and ask me questions about my best friend and try to do things with me.
Oh, damn.
So I walked off the job.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
That's really fucked up. And then when I was doing my actual job in the laundry room, he would like pull all the laundry back down off the shelf that I just washed, folded, and then told me to do it again. And was because I wouldn't tell him certain things about my best friend, and then he would treat me like shit the rest of the day at work.
Oh, wow.
And then you'd be like, you're not going to get a job anywhere else. And I was like, really? Watch me. Me and Mac, I finally got back together. And I was like, oh, I want to have a baby. And he's like, I do too. But, you know, you need to quit escorting. I'm sorry. He's like, I'll still marry you. We could still be together forever and ever. I don't want to have a kid unless we're going to quit escorting. I'm fine with anything else, what he said. Just, you know, we're going to have a kid. I want to be the only person that gets to be inside there, you know, and that's okay. I get it. I got that. Mm-hmm. I understood that. That wasn't jealousy to me. That's safety. You know what I mean? Yeah. And plus he already been through, you know, me almost getting fucking gang raped by Mexicans. Okay. Like, right. You've been through some shit with me on the escorting things. So he's like, you know, it's just too dangerous to have you do while you're pregnant to begin with. He's like, and other than that, I just, you know, if we're going to be having a family, I want to make sure not escorting our daughter's child throughout our child's childhood, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay. So that's when I made the switch to online work after that fucking Indian prick did that shit to me. I was like, I'm done. There's got to be a different job out there for me. There's got to be somewhere willing to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
Started looking online. And I was like, well, you know, I know how to post ads. I've done a lot of online stuff as escort and forums and writing reviews and, you know, things like that. I was part of a review cycle, Teen A-Board, where I was like super verified and I had a lot of reputation. I had a good reputation there. And, you know, a lot of the girls, a lot of the main girls in Oregon knew me. A lot of the main like escorts in Oregon all knew me because I was actually the number one escort in Southern Oregon. Because I was good at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I served a lot of rural areas that other girls didn't serve.
Gotcha. Customer service, baby. I mean,
Fuck yeah. I mean, I love pleasing people. So, just a big people pleaser, really am. I love making a man come. I love it so much. So I was like, what about phone sex? Max was like, yeah, we could do that. We could even do porn or whatever. And I was like, okay. First, I started with this shitty little dispatch company called Phone Stars. Mm-hmm. God, they were so bad. 18 cents a minute, dude. 18 cents.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. You can find that in your car easily. Mm-hmm. Jeez. 18 cents.
I did get my one longtime customer out of that, though, Jim.
Mm.
I've told you about Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
I still talk to Jim. He gave me his phone number one day. And then as soon as I got fired, because I was too afraid to call while I was still working for them. As soon as I got fired from not reaching their hours quota that week because I was pregnant and sick that week, I even messaged him and told him that I wasn't going to be making my 30 hours that week, you know. Mm-hmm. I made like 26 hours instead. It wasn't that far off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Still fired me over it. I was like, whatever. The same day, I found another phone sex site called SidCats. And you could make like a profile on there and you could put any price point you want, but they just took 50% of whatever you made.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was better than 18 cents a minute. So right. I was like, sure, yeah. Oh, and I even have a little web store here where I could post like little clips and stuff. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I can even. And so I used all my old escort ad pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using their stock photos, I used all my escort ad photos of myself as like my profile pictures and stuff and the pictures of my packages and everything, you know. And that's when I really started to learn about the ins and outs of phone sex and online sex work was working at SidCats. And the owner started having me and Matt, because Matt can video edit and all of that. And he started realizing we were bringing people in. So he had us promote the site because we had this Pornhub account that was starting to really gain a little bit of traction and was bringing new customers in. And we were getting a lot of clicks on our affiliated links. We were doing so, so good. But the guy is just one guy that runs the place. And he was like crazy. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I am under a fucking NDA. All right. He made me sign one near the end.
Mm.
Frick. And So I can't really say much other than it just didn't work out. And then the whole Pornhub thing happened where I lost my fan club and everything too, that I was like making a good amount of money from. And that's actually when I took my hiatus. Plus I had just given birth like 2 months before I lost my Pornhub thing and the Syncast thing. So I was already stressed out dealing with new baby. And then I lost both these streams of income. I quit Syncats. I still had my Discord fan server from my Pornhub though. And so during my hiatus, I started thinking about how could I come back and get back in the thing. You know, I already had my X-Videos account and X-Hamster account that I posted some videos to as it was. And I was still making ad revenue from Pornhub. And I also had this FanCentro account for a while where I had all my paid content on it. And people could just pay like $20, get a hold of all my paid content, then they don't have to pay again the next month if they don't want to. You know, that's what I would tell them because I wasn't doing content at the time. And it's really funny. When I came back off my hiatus, not even 3 days after I came back, FanCentro had banned me. Up for like 7 months and then they banned me. And I'm like, okay. So I tried Minivids, and then within like a month, I was making a lot of money on there. I was climbing the ranks really fast where I was already in like the top 500 within a month, not even a whole month. And and then they were like, yeah, see, a bunch of creators, other creators on there started following me. And I'm like, oh, good. No, it wasn't good. They started realizing I was climbing the ranks really fast and making a lot of money really quick. And they were jealous. So they reported me. Because I was doing age play content.
Gotcha. Yeah. And is that why FanCentral banned you as well?
They banned me before that.
For the age play.
Yes. That's also why, you know, Pornhub took down like half my videos. That's why fucking X-Hamster's Fap House didn't approve me for having a Fap House because they're like, look, if you had any other paid content than this, we would approve you. But like, we can't with our payment processor. They actually understood my situation though. And I told them about my harm reduction mission that I was trying to do. And they totally understood that. Now, Pornhub, I feel like there's people there that like me and people there that don't. Sometimes I'll get good responses from the admins. Other times I get shit responses.
Yeah. So
I've really fought the tube sites. I've really fought them a lot.
Yeah.
With the stuff and the fan sites. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. I was curious. So what was your first video that you put out on the tube sites?
It was actually a custom. Somebody asked me to make. Well, actually that was my first video that really hit. But my very first video I put out on the tube sites was this stupid small cock blowjob video I did with my husband. No dirty talk, just giving him a small dick blowjob. Well, we saw that it wasn't really like a lot of small dick content. We're like, oh, yeah. Hey, this will be fun. And I have this like little pacifier technique I use when giving a small dick a blowjob. Especially when it's starting off soft, you know?
Yeah.
So I really showed that off in that video. It actually ended up gaining some views later on because of that. People loved that I was doing that with it because you just never see it in porn.
Right. Yeah, you always see the monster cocks.
But my first video that gained traction was my first JOI I did. And it was somebody asked me to make it. And it was a regular customer of mine. And he paid me for the custom. And it was mainly implied age play. And like mainly implied age play encouragement kind of thing. Telling them, you know, they're not a bad person. It's okay. You know, and like just kind of doing that type of thing. I forgot exactly what the story was in that video. But yes. It was something very, very much like that. And that got 10,000 views in one day.
Wow.
And all my other stuff only had like a couple grand on my first few weeks on Pornhub. And then I came out with my Pornhub fan club and that started selling like crazy. That's actually why Syncast, the Syncast site, has like fan club stuff now because they saw how fast my Pornhub fan club was selling.
On the Pornhub fan club, was it implied age play, or were you able to get more extreme?
Oh, I got really extreme in my Pornhub fan club until they shut down age play completely on the site. And then I wasn't even able to get away with it behind the paywall anymore because there wasn't a paywall anymore because they had to get rid of transactions because someone ruined all the fun.
Yeah. And so you came back from your hiatus and you had the Discord group. And how many people were in it? Like if you had to guess when you came back?
100 people was not many.
Yeah. And when was that? Like part of the year, what year?
November 2021.
Okay. Yes. And near that's the just end last of year.
I came up my hiatus. Yeah. I wasn't even fully off of it till like near the end of December.
And then just fast forward to today, and you've got the same Discord server with 7,000 people.
It's been pruned twice too.
Yes. Which 7,000 people and multiple creators.
Yeah. For anyone that doesn't know what pruning is, it actually got to 6,000 about 3 months ago, and we pruned it down to 3,500. So anybody that had an active Discord account for 30 days or more was kicked, and they could come back, just kicked. And then we did the same thing again, like last month. We were at 5 grand, and we put it down to like 2,500. Mm-hmm. And then now, not even like a month and a half later, we're back up to 7,000.
Yeah.
I don't plan on pruning again for quite a while, though.
So, I mean, that's just wild to me to think that not even a year ago, you know, you came back just 100 people just sticking in for the long run. And now it's at 7,000. And then when you came back, it was just your Discord, right? It was just your stuff, your hub.
Just my fan club Discord. I didn't even really have content on it because it was just kind of like updates on what I was doing. I'd had a couple like Discord only audios and that was it. That's all I really had.
Yeah.
I didn't even do audio content. Yeah. I didn't really do audio content until I came off my hiatus. And I did this like coming back audio for like the people in my Discord that stuck around.
Because
it wasn't many. A lot of those 100 accounts were like inactive. Like it was maybe 20 people who were still active at all in there.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like not even fully active, but just barely, you know. M-Technic kept my place going the entire time I was gone and would direct people to my Fan Central and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then he put me on Pissed Audio. He made my account, posted me there.
M-Technic did?
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't know that.
But that comeback audio, he just took it. He posted it. He's like, here's the account name. Here's the password. There's other HBlade content on there. If you want to do more audios, just see how this one does and see if you want to do more. You can kind of add that to your video thing that you already do. And I was like, all right. Place started to flood.
Huh.
I came up with a new video. And the place really started to flood with new people. And it just started like, I was excited when we were just getting like 20 people a day. I was like, oh my God. Like 20 new people a day was huge for me. And even if there was a lot of people in and out, that was still huge for me, you know?
Yeah.
And then fast forward to like 3-4 months later, there was like 50 to 100 people a day. And then now it's like, I've literally have had 300 people join in one day before.
It's crazy. I've just been in since I think April, and it blows me away to see even just my short time in there. The growth has just been, it's just like crazy. It's uncomprehendable, you know, like, is this really happening? I'm sure you think that all the time. Like, is this happening?
Or am I dreaming? Yeah, I think it all the time. I don't even know how this happened. I mean, but wherever I've gone on the internet too, I've rised up the ranks really fast, just because I think it's just because I, you know, once I do something, I really do it. You know, I really put everything I got into it. But yeah, I've also been banned from OnlyFans too, by the way. I've also been banned off Motherless somehow. I don't know how that happened. I still don't know how that happened. I like posted a video on there once and then I got banned and I was like, this is like a really tame video of mine. Yeah. Like, this shit's on Pornhub and X videos and never got taken out. What the, why did you, it must be somebody on their admin team doesn't like me. That's the only thing I can think of. It's the only thing I can literally think of. No idea.
I've wearing that as a badge, Katie. Like, I'm the one bitch that can get banned from Motherless. Because that's pretty impressive to say that.
Literally nothing.
Right.
I posted one video, dude. One. And it wasn't even like, it wasn't even an age play video, dude.
Yeah.
It was just like someone saw me on there on their admin team was like, nope. Yeah. I don't want her taking over the community. Like, I swear to God, that's what it was or something. But yeah, that's a big reason why as soon as my mini vids, you know, I had to take down all of my paid content so they wouldn't ban me. So I still have a mini vids account. I still have a Pornhub account too. Just, I can barely put new content on it because whenever I try, it gets taken out by moderation almost right away. They don't ban me. They just take down my content at this point. So I should literally be well over a million on Pornhub and I'm still only at like 900,000 on there and it pisses me off. Really pisses me off because I really should be. Because I'm at 5 mil on X videos and they've never taken anything down of mine. Thank God. And X hamster, I just started using my X hamster again. Like, I'll admit it. I only had like 2 videos on there for like the longest time. All of a sudden I started using it again lately and I'm getting very close to a million already on there. So I'm really proud of that. And then of course I'm on a bunch of tube sites I don't even know of because of like web crawlers and stuff that will take your shit and post it to the other sites.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's also why I put the invite right in the beginning. And the idea came to me to start having a VIP fan club on Discord. So I was like, I could always just take payments through PayPal and Amazon gift cards and I can make my own fan club on here. Mm-hmm. And all the other sex worker discords I went to, none of them had had that idea. And I was like, I wonder why no one else has done this yet. I went and checked out a few other sex worker discords and I was like, I think I could do this. Now that I've done it, there's a bunch with it now. But I swear I like pioneered the way for like having Discord servers as an escort. I mean, as a sex worker, you know?
Right. Well, I know right before I joined Pervert Paradise, I know a lot of girls were starting to talk about, you know, this could be used as OnlyFans, you know, but you're in control. Like, there are a lot of girls. It was kind of a buzz going around about it.
I'd start doing it. Like, you started the buzz before that. Yeah. I literally think I started the buzz on that because all I know is I started doing it. No one else was doing it for a good 2 or 3 months. And all of a sudden I look and there's like tons of other sex worker discords doing it all of a sudden and ask me about it, ask me how I did it. Like, people started going right to the source. Like, how did you do this? Fucking Mahala Marcy copied me too. But still didn't want to ever collaborate with me or anything, which I was like, all right. I was happy that girls were taking me up on it, to be honest, and doing it themselves. I'm happy to see any creator get out from underneath the thumb of fan site.
Yes. Well, and you got to think, I'm going to ruin the saying. I always forget how it is, but it's a saying where if someone does something you do, it's the most sincere form of flattery.
Yep. You know that saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting very close to that saying lately.
Yes. Yes. So in terms of video and audio, which one is your favorite to do?
It's really hard. I really like them both. I think I still prefer video, though.
And why is that? Why do you like doing videos? Video content.
Oh, because I just feel like, I feel like one, I could put it so many more places than an audio. It gives me so much more exposure. Yeah, like logistically, it's just better. That's why I always tell girls, I'm like, you know, if you think you can do video or at least some fucking pictures, do it, because you could post that shit anywhere.
Men are visual.
There's a lot of men that are very visual. That's why I try to get with both. I try to get the visual and the audio men because I feel like if you can do both, you know, because I do both, though, has a big reason why I get backed up on customs and I'm not able to come out with as much content as some girls because of doing both, because of also doing the activism. So I'm doing like 80 other things on top of doing content. But when I do come out with content, it's always quality. I always come out with at least some content every month, usually a couple times a month. I always have a couple things, my VIP per month, always have a couple free things per month. And I usually always have like a free photo album every other month where it's like a big album too, where I take a lot of pictures and I put a lot of them out at once. I like doing all of that. I've thought about doing tangible items like panties. I really want to do like merchandise. I want to do like Pervert Paradise merch. I really want you guys to tell me if you would buy a Pervert Paradise mug or a t-shirt, or like a t-shirt with your favorite Pervert Paradise girl. Like, we'll have one for you, Beatrix. We'll have one for me. We'll be like Pervert Paradise, Katie Starling, Pervert Paradise, Beatrix, Miss Beatrix, our Pervert Paradise, Fiona Costello, Pervert Paradise, Sloan's Moans, you know? Like,
yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
You know?
Yeah. That would be awesome. I'm just like imagining like koozies. I don't know if everyone calls them koozies. I should put around beer, you know, like a little Pervert Paradise koozie, little trucker hats.
Because we do kind of have a Pervert Paradise emblem already in KM Productions emblem, because we have the writing and that monster's attack font along with our colors, which we have already. So, and that would look great on merchandise, just this black background with the yellow and red writing and that really unique font. That font is crazy unique.
Ooh, what about panties? That would be fun. Pervert Paradise panties.
Oh my God. That would be great.
Yes. I love it. Love it.
This is how we usually talk, guys. This is literally like, we are talking about shit all the time like this. Like, me and Beatrix, I think I'm closest with Beatrix than almost anybody else. Than any other creator, actually. I'm close with all my partner creators in Pervert Paradise. Like, we all talk all the time. But me and Beatrix probably talk more than anyone else. We're very much partners. We're very much, I very much, like, she's my right-hand man in many ways.
Well, I told Katie, or I told you, Katie, when, you know, we really started talking about me being in the server and shit. And I was like, you're kind of stuck with me now. You're stuck with me. Like, I'm here and I'm, you know, I told you just the other day, I'm glad to be stuck. I really am. I really, just within 1 week of being in Pervert Paradise, I'm like, this is my new home. I'm never leaving. Never.
I love that.
I love it. Yeah, I just, it's such a great place for so many reasons. And
I love hearing that, by the way.
Do you? Go ahead.
Yeah, and that makes me feel like that dream of being somewhere welcoming for taboo creators. And I mean taboo creators, guys. I know I shouldn't be like specific about it, but I am. It's because taboo creators, there's a lot of help they can give that they're not allowed to give.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, when I first came into the server too, it was the first place I'd ever been where I felt like needed and welcomed as a creator. You know, Katie's just, you had it so explicitly stated. I want creators in here. Just message me. I'll get with you. And I mean, she got with me fast. It wasn't, yeah, that's, I have appreciated that.
Because it's, you know, just not common in this business.
No. Before Pervert Paradise, like I tried joining other, you know, places for creators only. And I never felt like people were really there helping. It was all judgy and just always weird. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They get really weird. And if they know you have like a following, they'll like jump on it, you know, and it's just the way creators treat each other is not very nice. And it's very sad, and it's something I really want to see change.
It is sad because it can be so isolating doing sex work all day, every day. You get very isolated because, I mean, sure, you're talking to guys all day, but, you know, you don't have that camaraderie and the friendship from other people, from other
creators. Like you would from a normal job.
Right, exactly.
Like you would from almost anything else but sex work.
Yep.
The same problem is with escorts too. It's any form of sex work you do. Sex work is so, like, guys, maybe you're surprised to hear this, but it's very competitive. And it's because these girls make it competitive when really there's enough to go around for all of us. There truly is.
Yes.
If any creators are listening to this, I really want you girls to know there is enough to go around for all of us. There's no reason to be jealous, to be competitive. Even if you feel like, oh, I'm being knocked down because this other girl is better than me. Well, usually that's not why. You know, it's the fact that the more following someone has, yes, the better they can get that mission statement out, the better they can get things out. And that's how you have to look at it. You have to look at how can I build myself up to be able to do that also. You know, because that's something we all really struggle with, right, Beatrix? We see a bigger creator come in. This scares the shit out of every creator, man. They're like, oh, my God, they have more people. They have more following. Oh, my God, I'm not good enough. And you get these voices in your head that go, oh, they're going to take my clients. I'm going to lose money. I'm not going to be able to live. I'm going to have to work a normal job. And you start freaking out.
Yeah.
But really, girls, there's no reason, right, Beatrix? There is
no.
You got to calm those thoughts and think, okay, what can I do to show that I'm just as good, or not even just as good, but what can I do to get my own big following? You know, what can I do that's different? And you never want to copy them. You want to do something different. You want to do something that's all you, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing is like you're something. Oh, she had to go.
Did you say again, Mom?
Oh, I was just going to say you're something to somebody. Like, you know, this guy may think, man, Katie Starling is like everything. I love her. I worship her, you know, and there's another guy that might come into Pervert Paradise and be like, oh my God, Miss Beatrix, I want to worship her. You know, you have to,
I want to suck her toes.
Right. I mean, like some guys are going to stick to you. You're going to be something to someone. You're somebody's kink. You're somebody's fetish. You're someone's perfection. Can't be everyone's perfection. I mean, maybe it could be, but I know I'm not. But yeah, you are going to be somebody's favorite, you know, somebody's something. It's, yeah. So Katie, I do want to ask you this. What made you want to bring in other creators to this place you had started and built up? Why bring in other creators?
That's a good question. I truly want to help people.
No.
And I spent so lonely as an escort, to creator, even with my husband. I wanted camaraderie, and I wanted. I knew that there were so many different reasons why I wanted to bring in other creators. Number one, though, is that I really, truly want to help other creators. Mm-hmm. The help that I didn't get, I wanted to give.
Mm.
The help that most creators don't get, I wanted to try to at least give to some. Especially those who are doing this kind of content. Because it's so hard for us out there. We do not get, we get blackballed from the professional community. We get blackballed from other creator communities. We get fucked with. We get, you know, we get told that we're pieces of shit just because we do a certain kind of content or just because we have fun telling a naughty story, you know, like, and it's not okay.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like... Like, I would feel like eventually you're going to get tired of me talking about fans. Like, that would be my thinking too. Like, eventually, like, you're just going to get bored of me. And I always feel like that's a really cool thing about Pervert Paradise is you have a plethora of people, of creators putting stuff out. And so why not?
That's another thing I thought of too. That's another thing I thought of too was like, eventually customers get bored of you. If you really want to make, if I really wanted to make my harm reduction mission truly out there, I needed to involve other creators as much as I could. Need to get them on board with it. What creators we have on board for these guys to be able to talk to and have safe content from, the better.
So... before we talk about, I'm so excited to talk about the harm reduction, but before we do, what do you see the future plans are for Pervert Paradise? That's right now over 7,000 members.
Well, I really want to make like, even if I can't make a website that hosts audio and video and all of that, you know, which I would love to do just for Taboo content, Taboo creators, you know. But even if I can't do that, I do want a website that I can use as like an official hub where people can learn about what's in Per Paradise and what creators are there. And in different like articles that we post there, it can be also posted to like the website as like a newsletter. And then they can join the Per Paradise or contact us there if they want to be a part of it or learn more. Really want one of those websites. Per Paradise. Because I think it would be perfect because people can go to the website first. They can see what it's all about, what's there, you know, have a big invite page on it. And then they can just, you know, how to make a Discord account. How to do this. There can be like how to's, how to use our server, what's in our server, who's in our server, you know, what kind of tips do we have for sex workers getting into taboo work? What porn sites are friendly, you know, all of that. What nonprofits do we work with, you know, like Prostatia and stuff. I really want something like that. I also see the future Per Paradise being a really bright one. And a long one. I see this being my lifetime career. And I see being my career in many ways. Many forms. Mac also sees it like this is what we're banking on. This is we're putting all our eggs in one basket, okay?
And I feel like I should state in just in case Mac is Katie's husband who who is a co-owns Pervert Paradise.
And co-stars with me in a lot of my videos. Any video that there's a dick, it's Max.
Yes. Well, it's super exciting. I mean, I have to, I think I shared this story on the first one. I am so thankful to my one customer from Minivids. I was doing a custom mommy son thing, and he was really special because I think I was the first creator on there, if I'm remembering correctly, that, would say the age in the video and just give him what he was wanting in his custom video. It was an age play mommy son thing. And he was like, you really should come check this place out. It's really great. And yeah, I joined and I'm so thankful. So thankful for him. It just, the stars aligned. Thank you so much for listening to part one of my interview with Katie Starling. And episode three will be part two with Katie Starling, where we talk about harm reduction mission, her other sex work activism, and then we really get into her personal kinks and fetishes, and we answer some listener questions. So some really good stuff for next time. You can find the Discord server that is still a work in progress, but it is ultimately the place to follow the Slut Next Door podcast, where I encourage interaction. I want to get your listener questions. I want to see what you want to hear about and future episodes. So if you haven't joined already, just go to discord.gg/slutnextdoor. And also, please find me and Katie Starling, along with tons of other creators and thousands of pervs, at discord.gg/pervertparadise. So I hope you tune in to next time. And again, thank you so much. Bye.